Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. It is set on a lampstand, where it gives light to all in the house. Just so your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Brothers and sisters, St. Paul says something remarkable, actually, to us and to the Corinthians. He says, "I did not come with sublimity of words or of wisdom. I came in weakness, fear, and trembling, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God." He's telling us and them not to confuse the message with the messenger, right? And not to mistake his style for the substance. Now, he was coming to Corinth, which was a town that loved eloquence, right? Had famous philosophers and polished kind of presenters. But he strategically chooses, you know, "I'm not going to play that game. I'm not going to present myself like everyone else." And it seems this was a conscious decision of Paul, because in many other places, he presented himself very eloquently. He wrote impressively, right? 1 Corinthians 13, the Ode to Love. Like, that's one of the greatest pieces of literature written, right? So he's capable of that. He's like, "I didn't choose to approach it that way." And Jesus calls us to be salt of the earth and light of the world, right? So he's inviting us to make an impact. But salt and light work quietly and humbly, almost invisibly. But their potent impact is unmistakable, right? So at once he's calling us to make an impact, to change things, but also to be humble, like Paul. So how do we put these things together? How do we be light up on a lampstand, but humble, letting it rest on the power of God? Jesus says, "You're the light of the world," but we know the truth. We shine only because we reflect Christ's light, like the moon, right? Not its own light, but reflects another source. And St. Paul lives this. He says, "I resolve to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what I know, and that's what I reflect." Now, obviously, Paul didn't lack education. We know he was brilliant. It's evident by his writings. He studied under Gamaliel, but he didn't want anything to distract from Christ. He didn't want anyone's faith to be built on his own talent, on his own genius, right? St. Paul lives that. The more St. Paul kind of dimmed himself and focused on Christ and reflected that light, the more impact he was convinced he would have. You know, salt is, I think, a humble condiment, right? No one compliments the salt shaker. Or they do compliment you on the amount of salt you used. They're like, "Ah, it was just right. Not too much, not too little." Or if you really like salt, it's always too little. And some people, even before they test the food, there's a priest who is, I always marvel, like, "You already tested, you don't know how much it needs. Now it always needs more." So salt is humble. It disappears into the food. Without it, everything is bland, right? And that's what you are. Even Jesus affirms it. You are that. That's who you are for the world. You enliven it. You're meant to bring out all the goodness that God's put in the world that's been dimmed by sin. You want to bring it out through your goodness, your integrity, your mercy, your faithfulness, through your reflection of Jesus to the world, your enhancing presence. But salt only works if it's potent, if it's intense, right? If it's pure, if it's not mixed with a lot of other stuff. So Paul refuses that glossy rhetoric of the philosopher. He isn't trying to be for everyone. He's trying to be faithful. Not kind of one quality of light is to be flashy, but faithful. And he knows what Christ told us, that if he loses that salt, he becomes useless. Made me reflect on the quality of the church as I was preparing this. Like, let's be honest, sometimes people criticize the Catholic Church for not being flashy, not being attractive enough, being a little boring. It's liturgy. They don't have the songs like the Protestants, right? I remember as a youth group, come to ours, we've got music and food. And, you know. It's true. Sometimes the church does not come off as entertaining enough, right? I got a feed of a Protestant pastor who was converting to Catholicism this week, and he said something that I wouldn't say unless he said it. So he said one of his main moments of conversion, he was a mega church pastor, who said, you know, I was feeling a lot of pressure and a lot of stress because every week I was really anxious to be sure that the liturgy or the worship, the music and my message would create a feeling in the people where they would say, you know what, we felt God. Like, that was such a moving sermon. The music was just right. It crescendoed in the perfect moment. People felt God, right? And he was always trying to, in his mind, in his words, said, I was trying to manipulate the crowd to get the effect that I wanted, because that would make them come back. And in this moment of stress, he went to a Catholic church. He was traveling to preach somewhere, and he was feeling this, and so he looked for a church. The closest one to where he was staying was there, so he went in. Mass was going on, and he marveled. He said, you know what? Maybe this is what true worship is about. No one was trying to manipulate anybody. In fact, you had to make an effort to engage, right? Like, it really took. He's like, all these people, they're in it. They're praying, they're focused. And actually what's happening isn't doing anything to them. And it was the beginning of his conversion. Like, maybe this is what true worship is. This is what liturgy is supposed to be. Yeah, it's not flashy, not meant to be, although a high mass can be quite beautiful, quite entertaining for the senses, beautiful music, incense, the candles can be all very dramatic and beautiful, but to access the mystery beyond requires our engagement, our heart. It's a humble. It appeals to us and invites us in, just like Jesus. That's the heart of St. Paul's message. We don't build faith on emotion or charisma or production value. Our worship's humble, steady, sacramental, so that your phrase faith rests not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. If the Mass wowed you because of the preacher or moved you because of the lights and the sound, what happens when the preacher changes or the music dips or the pastor changes, right? Would your faith fade, right? But if your faith is grounded in Christ, present in the Eucharist, in that salt and light that transforms the world, Christ who speaks through scripture or who acts through grace, then our faith is unshakable, right? No doubt our world and even our own tendencies to chase attention, applause, novelty, but Christ certainly invites us in the gospel to something more enduring, right? Quiet, humble, consistent holiness, right? That's what we should pursue. We don't need to be the loudest voice in the room. You know, last week I preached on being the most interesting people in the world. What makes us interesting isn't our volume, it's the solidity of our ideas that are rooted in Christ and reflected in the world and in nature that flows from him. You don't need to have a platform. Your platform is already given to you. It's you. The fact that you were created in God's image is enough. From that, you can reflect light into the world and be salt. That's potent enough. You, fully you, is enough in Christ. Humility is magnetic. Authentic goodness is unmistakable. So let's ask ourselves, right, as we come to the Eucharist, as we reflect on Scripture, as we root ourselves in Christ in that ongoing conversion through confession. Lent is just around the corner, that ongoing striving to let the light of Christ shine through us, to let go of anything that would, any attachment, any disorder that would keep that light inward, insular, and not reflecting out to the world. So you can ask yourself for this week, where can I be salt? Right? Where can I quietly enhance the goodness of God that's already present, discover it, and bring it out? My family, my workplace, my friendships. Not focusing on everything that's missing, the quality that's not there, but the virtue that is. Or where can I be light, right? Where can I reflect Christ's presence? Not my own brilliance, right? But his truth, his mercy, his peace, right? His salvific power. Where is Christ asking me to stop performing and start kind of witnessing to him? To be more like Paul, right? Simple, authentic, grounded, so that others encounter him and truly me in him. In the end, obviously, the world does not need more performers, but more saints. Saints who are the light of Christ in the world, who are the salt that make the world beautiful and reflect all the goodness that God has placed in it. Amen.